Joining us in the studio now is Peter Cohen. He is a mission integration manager with NASA. And I remember as a kid, they came out with the X-29. And of course, you know, all aviators of my generation dreamed about the X-1 being around there for that one. So research planes usually get an X. And it's not like they had 30 more airplanes, research airplanes between the X-29 and the X-59. But that's the latest that's been out there. What can you tell us about it?
Sure. The X-59 is a specially designed research airplane, and there have been 30 since
X-29. So it is sequential somewhat.
Yes, indeed. Yep. So it's a specially designed research aircraft that can fly supersonic speeds without creating a loud sonic boom. So the purpose of our research is to demonstrate a technology which could be used in future supersonic transports to fly over land quietly.
So not a unicorn.
So just how quiet are we talking? What is the target for someone on the ground? What would they hear as this aircraft flies over?
It'd be like a thump, like a car door slamming. Mm-hmm. So quite a
was that
quite
the
a
neighbor
reduction
or was that a
Concorde.
Supersonic transport? Yeah.
That's what we're kind of hoping we'll hear.
Pull up the flight tracker quickly.
Yeah. That's right, yes.
To make this happen, do several things have to work together? Like there's going to be some metals development. There's going to be some
it's all about the shape of the airplane.
Okay.
Sonic boom happens because airplane flying faster than sound creates shock waves. They're instantaneous pressure changes. With a typical airplane, those pressure changes all wind up piling up on each other. So you've got two and you hear the bang bang of a sonic boom. To change that, you have to design the airplane so that those waves are relatively same strength, relatively equally spaced. They don't merge, and instead you get just a soft thump thump on the ground.
Okay, so the speed of sound is broken at different speeds based on altitude.
Correct.
And so on.
Yep.
So is this going to be some sort of adjustable shape that depending on what altitude you accelerate through, or does that matter?
So, important lesson number one, a sonic boom is not the sound of aircraft breaking the sound barrier.
Right.
It doesn't start until the airplane's fully supersonic, mm-hmm. and then it's generated as long as you're flying faster than sound.
Right.
Our airplane is designed for a specific cruise condition. Ours is Mach 1.4, 55,000 feet, but it would depend on the design and the size of the airplane and other things. Once you reach that condition, if you maintain it, essentially keep the same lift coefficient, and you just fly, and the shape will remain the same and will always be quiet.
So what are some of the challenges you've run into along the way as you've been trying to perfect this sonic boom and the thump thump on the ground?
So it's actually a 40-year saga of improving research. The biggest challenge was making a design that would work with the back end of the airplane. Arranging those shock waves from the engine nozzle and the tail and the trailing edge of the wing and things like that, so that you would get the shape that you want. We also have to shape the boom so it's not only just quiet under the airplane, but across the whole flight track, and that was probably the biggest challenge.
How did you come to get to this project? You sound from what you've described, you are kind of the ringleader, in a sense.
I call myself the chief cat herder. So, yes, my job is to make sure that the airplane development piece and the measuring the acoustics piece, and most importantly, the piece where we'll go out and fly over communities and collect information about how people respond to the sound, plus working with the international regulatory community, make sure all that stuff comes together so that we can fulfill our goal of supplying data which the international regulatory community can use to make a standard for how quiet you need to be before you can fly over land supersonic.
In working with the international regulatory community, have you found that a lot of people are open to this idea of accepting supersonic aircraft in their airspace, or has there been some hesitancy or some pushback from everyone saying, maybe we don't want this just yet?
There is some resistance. It's really interesting. We developed a technique to use a regular airplane in a specific maneuver to do research. It creates a low sonic boom sound. over a very small area. And at one point, we had the opportunity to invite a bunch of people from the International Civil Aviation Organization to come out and hear and listen to the sound. And when they heard the sound, their minds changed a lot. I mean, it really, people don't really believe that a sonic boom can be changed because, you know, they've heard the same thing for decades. But once they hear it, it really is transformative.
We've been talking all week on this particular hour about sustainability, not only environmental, but also human sustainability and a pipeline of people into your shop so that you can continue your research. Who are you looking for if you were to hang out the shingle?
Curious people, good math skills, good be able to work as a team member, excitement about supersonic flight. So that's one of the really things we hope we can accomplish with X-59 is inspire our next generation to get involved in aerospace engineering and work on the next big breakthrough.
So we've seen a couple of projects come and go, and some other manufacturers announce that they're working on a supersonic aircraft, either from a commercial standpoint with what that project's out there, or from the corporate side. Have you worked with any of those operations at all, or are those separate from what you're doing, or are they just kind of waiting to find out what the results of your research are before they proceed?
A little bit of everything. We've worked with industry and universities from across the world, basically, on various elements of these technologies. Key piece that helped us really make a big difference is a couple of years ago, Gulfstream did an experiment with us where they flew what they called the quiet spike. It was a long, extendable nose that created a series of small shock waves, which kind of led us to the thinking that got us to the breakthrough that made X-59. We also work with partners who are interested in just flying supersonic over land because there are other barriers like fuel efficiency and landing and takeoff noise where NASA technology solutions and NASA information that can support the development of standards is helpful for them.
I may have missed this before, but the airplane has not yet flown?
It has not yet flown. We just moved it from the manufacturing facility at Lockheed Martin. That's our prime contractor.
And that's the video I saw of it
that's
emerging out of
the
hangar.
That's the video I saw of the long nose coming out of the... Yeah, that's pretty amazing. It's out at the flight line now. We're making good progress on the testing that we need to do out there. Looking forward to putting fuel in the airplane and running the engines and getting ready to fly, hopefully by the end of this year.
Let's talk about that in rolling out a research aircraft. It's not just push it out of the hangar, make sure that nothing's loose, and then go fly it. There's a very staged process to this.
So it's really not too much different from what a typical home builder would go through. You know, you finish the airplane, you finish the manufacturing, you have a lot of people look at it, you try the electronics, you run the engine, you take that series of steps, and when you've finished the checklist, then you're ready to fly. It's just more complicated because there's more systems.
How complicated was it for you to fly your airplane in here?
I've been doing it for almost 35 years now, and I came on Friday a week ago, so traffic was a little bit lighter. Mm-hmm. So this was the first time I actually flew in by myself, and it was great. It was a beautiful evening,
and
I really enjoyed
it.
I have the trick airplane question. I have a Socata Rally.
I know what that is.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good.
Wow, and you're also an AMP, so when you're not at the office wrenching, you don't mind wrenching a little bit on your own airplane.
I love it. I just moved recently, and I moved to a house that was couldn't get on the airport, but 5 minutes from the airport, so I can go out anytime I want and either fly or work.
Talk a little bit about your presence in the NASA Pavilion.
Oh, it's been just fantastic. It really has so many people coming through. Everybody's really interested, not just in Quest, but in all the things that NASA does. They know a lot about the subject. They're really interested. We've had a great week.
Our guest has been Peter Cohen, Mission Integration Manager for the X-59. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you both very much.
You're listening to EAA Radio.